already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning to We the People, kind of.
Sort of. We're working on it.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah, we've, like Bob said, a bloodless coup has occurred.
There you go.
My name is Mark Kenton and I'm here with my sister Linda.
Good morning. My name's Linda.
There you go, Linda. And Bob Martin is here, our trusted soundboard operator and all around great guy. And he's here to introduce us, cause we are on We the People and, you know, we've taken over. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll.
Sounds like an April Fool's gag several days late. No, actually, Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff are off this morning. Mark and I were just talking about this. I believe this is the first time we have ever had complete live guest hosts for We the People, because usually and Elizabeth Woodward hosted with Aaron for a long time. Usually either one or the other of them were here, or we did a previously recorded show. But today we have none of the above. We have our Sovereign Minds hosts essentially yep. joining us 2 hours early today. So welcome Mark and Linda.
I like to think of it as complete control.
Never know what we might do from here on out.
Anyway, we're here. Today is April 13th, 2014, and we've got some good guests on today. I believe we're going to have three guests today: Lowell Ponte, Terrence Moore, and Orly Tates. Tates, I guess, is how you pronounce it.
Tates, I believe.
Tates. And so we're streaming worldwide. This is KCNR1460.com. You can call in if you have a question or a comment to 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me, and I highly suggest that you do if you actually want to get some news, because it doesn't seem like you get anything out of the mainstream anymore, just little blurps and snippets and smidgens.
Just a little bit.
Smidgens.
Smidgens?
Yeah, so I highly, suggest that you friend me at Mark E. Kent. And, that way you can get the news that is the news instead of the no news that's not any news in, with our news organizations.
That's not true.
No.
They talk about some things just over and over again, not the real important things.
I don't know how many times you can talk about ditching a plane in the ocean. I mean, we've been on a plane, ditching a plane for a month. I guess a standoff in Nevada, where, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 protesters, Tea Party, Oath Keepers, and militia stand off against the BLM, over a cattle ranch, rights to water and grazing. And you see a little 10-second blurb on the news: the government is right. They've won all the court cases and the little guy's wrong and we need to take over his land and kill all his cattle. You know what I mean? So I guess that's not news, and I didn't see anything in the paper.
Yeah, it wasn't important that they actually withdrew.
Yeah,
from it.
Yeah, exactly. There was a standoff and the BLM backed down. Yeah. Evidently the sheriff came in from the county and I heard he even had armed vehicles and said, "Hey, you guys need to leave." But I guess that's not news.
No.
Maybe we should just, listen to the girl from Epony, like we're in the elevator. Dun, 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 dun.
No, but we do have a good guest on right now on the phone. We have Terrence Moore, who wrote the book, the story, Killers.
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 What's the
it's
story?
It's about the Common Core.
Oh, common, yeah, common. I was going to look into this, but I didn't have time. A common sense case against Common Core. Are you with us there, Terry?
Terrence Moore, yes. How are you?
Okay, Terrence, sorry, I didn't mean to be presumptuous there. Good, how you doing? I did a little research on you. You are a professor at Hillsdale College?
That's correct.
And maybe give us a little background, Terrence, about yourself. And I also see that you have a doctorate.
That's correct. I have a PhD in history. I'm a former Marine. I've run a school in Colorado that was one of the top schools there. It was a classical charter school. And right now I'm at Hillsdale College on the history faculty. And I'm also helping set up schools around the country as a part of our charter school initiative. And we have currently 4 schools in operation and 4 that are going to start this coming year, all using a classical curriculum.
Well, I guess that completely debunks the thing that about Marines not being very smart, because it seems like you've got some credentials here. I see the University of Edinburgh. Edinburgh, is that the university in Scotland?
That's correct. Edinburgh is in Scotland.
Wow, interesting.
Most of the Marines I knew were pretty smart.
That's what I hear too, but you know, the mainstream media seems to, you know, have this perception, especially lately, of the military on all accounts that, they're not very sharp. And like I say, I think, you debunk that myth, completely looking at your credentials. But let's talk about what you want to talk about here with Common Core. We're very interested in this. I'm curious, you know, I have a grandson in grade school right now, and they started the Common Core, and I don't know, you know, what to even think about it, because you hear, you know, these horror stories, and, you know, I'm just absolutely paranoid of leaving him in school, in fact, but maybe you can help us understand it better.
Well, the Common Core is I would say that it's a curriculum, but supposedly it's a set of standards that were adopted by 45 states in the country in 2010 with almost no public discussion whatsoever. And what prompted that adoption was a lot of race to the top money that was given to state governments at a time that they were running low on cash. And the standards themselves prescribe a set of teaching practices and a set of ways of going about things, and I think it's actually a curriculum that they're trying to sneak in or at least solidify in the schools. Some of it's already been there for a long time. And it really is, if you look at it over the long haul, the knockout blow for progressive education that has been gradually increasing in this country over the last half century.
Now, that would be like a dumbing down then. I mean, isn't that what we're talking about here? And we say progressive. I mean, isn't this just out-and-out communism at the end of the day?
Well, the it is a dumbing down, although, of course, the rhetoric is all about critical thinking skills and college and career readiness and raising the bar and so on, because they're not just going to come out and tell you that they're making math almost impossible to do for children, nor that they're sneaking stories in there that have a left-leaning political bent. So you can call it communism if you want to. The history is out of progressive education, whose godfather is John Dewey. And many of the things that are essentially programmed into this curriculum are following in this pattern. But in some ways they're actually worse. I can think of 2 ways in which they're worse. One is that the real purpose nowadays behind a lot of schools, and this is why I think Gates' money is so involved in this, is to haul kids behind computers for about 5 or 7 hours of the day and essentially program them as though they were computers using these new fads.
Wow.
The other thing that is pretty awful about it is, in the case of English, which is what my book is about and what I've studied, is that they really are taking great stories away from children and replacing them with what they call informational texts. And that really is the novel thing, the really new thing that's a part of the English standards. And they're upfront about it. They describe it in a different way, but what they basically say is, we're going to take literature out of the literature classroom and we're going to replace it with informational texts. And these are either just unchallenging, boring, 2 to 3 minute texts that you can read very quickly, that have really nothing of value to offer, or in some cases they're just straight outright political propaganda that have been imported into the classroom under the guise of information.
So that sounds exactly the opposite of critical thinking. I mean, critical thinking is problem solving, from my understanding of, you know, what they should have been teaching all along is the fact that, you know, how to analyze things for yourself and figure out, you know, what the truth of the matter is. Am I off base there?
No, but see, they don't want critical thinking, and above all, they don't want students following great, ennobling stories that tell people about the human condition. This is the way schools have always taught children how to be more human, how to understand the English language, and how to read well, and that is by following great stories that are written by the master storytellers in beautiful language. But if you replace that with, for example, an article written in the 2009 New Yorker called The Cost Conundrum, Healthcare Costs in McAllen, Texas, written by Atul Gawande, if you replace Shakespeare with something like that, then, of course, that's the way that you sneak in an article about Obamacare in order to make students dwell on things that really don't belong in an English class.
So they're taking the classics out, is what you're saying. I mean, like Treasure Island and things where, you know, they show the, or, you know, whether it's the one I'm thinking of, Tale of Two Cities with by Dickens. I mean, you know, it shows, like they say, the best of times, the worst of times, the best in men, the worst in men, as teaching tools, so that they understand that the human condition can aspire to greatness. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, they're depriving children of the classics and replacing it with a bunch of modern schlock, which essentially can be anything they want it to be. They go about this in a certain way that's really deceptive. One of the things is they put a lot of emphasis on complex texts. And they say that students should read complex texts as though we didn't know that. But when you ask them, well, what's a complex text? Then they give you this thing called the Lexile Index, which is essentially a computer model whose purpose is to rate texts about how complex they are. Well, this thing is woefully inaccurate. So if you take The Grapes of Wrath by Steinbeck, for example, what grade do you think that would be rated at by anybody with any sense?
Well, what grade it should be read at? I don't know.
Exactly.
I think I read The Grapes of Wrath when I was about 13, 14, I think.
I would say
sure.
Sixth,
so
right?
Upper middle school, high school.
Yeah.
According to the Lexile framework, it's a second to third grade reading text.
Well, you can't get that. I mean, a second grader's not going to get half of what's coming out of The Grapes of Wrath. I mean,
No, and see, that's the thing. They're not going to assign it to a second or third grader. But what they're going to do is they're going to devalue that literature by saying it's not very complex. And it's because The Grapes of Wrath uses very simple language. You know, it's not language that is unfamiliar to anyone.
But it's
Whereas
a very complex
with these modern
story.
Journal articles, they can say these are really complex texts. And so, therefore, they can justify putting all this stuff in a high school curriculum and getting rid of great literature.
Okay, with that, we need to go to a break, unfortunately. And when we come back, we'll pick that up with you, Terrence, on that. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Lorraine was an avid hiker until a tumble led to a painful compression fracture in her back. Her doctor sent her to MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center to undergo kyphoplasty. The minimally invasive procedure took less than an afternoon, and Lorraine felt immediate relief from the pain. She was back on the trail a month later, leading the way up the mountain. MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center offers the latest surgical advancements to keep you a step ahead.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
The tax man's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon, and I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me.
We're back. I was going to say Sovereign Mind Radio, but I think we're actually...
We're the people at the moment.
We're the people. Old habits die hard. Yeah. You know, what are we going to do today there, guy? We're going to take over the world again. We're talking with Terrence Moore from Hillsdale College, and we're talking about Common Core. And where were we at here? We were just talking about the cost conundrum and...
How they're changing the text of things that they're giving to our children to read.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you, Terrence, they do this also in the computer. What I mean by that is... in introducing the computers into the classroom, then they have total control over, and the parents aren't able to view and know exactly what's going on. Is that correct?
That is correct, because what's going on right now is you have, I wouldn't call them traditional textbooks, but you do have a lot of textbooks, and the textbook companies are the one who take these standards and then essentially do a lot of mischief with them by putting the text in that they want to, which are in fact essentially called for in the Common Core itself. And I can tell you about some of the things I found in these texts, and it's really outrageous. But the ultimate game is to go away from books, I think, and to put everything on the computer and to have more or less a video classroom, which will turn teachers into glorified computer monitors, and then it will mean that essentially everything will be centrally controlled by those who decide what our children need to learn.
Wow.
So the myth of local control is you know, completely done away with.
Do you think the teachers are aware of what's happening?
They're starting to become aware. It's more obvious in math in some ways, because the convoluted ways that they want students to do math are just palpable, and people are noticing that. But it's also starting to dawn on people that the English things that students are learning in English are not English at all. And parents are starting to get the sense of that and realizing that they really have to fight for these great stories to be part of their children's lives again. But let me give you an example of the sort of nonsense that you would find in a textbook.
Okay.
And this is by Prentice Hall, Pearson Prentice Hall. They're the biggest textbook company in the U.S. And they never tell you a complete story, of course, in these textbooks. So you'll get a chapter this or a chapter that. But sometimes they don't even deal with books themselves. So for 20 pages in which students are supposedly reading about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which would be a good thing for them to read, not one single page of it in the textbook has anything out of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Instead, you have modern authors talking about ghost stories, you have a picture of Frankenstein's monster, and for 5.5 pages you have a script taken from Saturday Night Live that was a spoof on Frankenstein.
Wow.
So that's what you have in place of the real Frankenstein. But it gets worse, because here's the dialogue that's included in the script. Frankenstein's monster shows up to a village, and one villager says to another, "Well, maybe you're the monster." The head villager shakes his head and says, "I'm not the monster." Then he points to Frankenstein's monster and says, "Look at him. He's got a square head and green skin." Frankenstein's monster says, "Oh, great. Now it's a racial thing."
Holy.
You know what? Wow. You guys are a bunch of fascists. In the margin of the teacher's edition, so this is telling the teachers what they're supposed to say, these words are written. Point out the use of the term fascist. Explain its traditional political meaning and how it has been extended to refer to any right-wing extremist group.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I'm kind of lost for words. Speechless here, because, I mean, I read one thing where it said there was a multiple choice questionnaire where it said, you know, is the government always right type thing? And that was one of the choices, but I mean, nothing quite as blatant as what you're telling me. You know, I mean, that is that prevalent through the whole course?
Yes. What I just gave you, of course, was taken from a textbook that would be read in the second semester of the senior year in high school.
Wow.
So this is not going to make students college ready. They wouldn't know anything about Frankenstein. What they would know is that if you really want to talk about right-wing extremists, you call them fascists. And, of course, who are right-wing extremists? Well, anybody that Common Core in the textbooks don't like.
Well, and fascism has nothing to do with right-wing extremists. Fascism is a marriage between the corporations and the government that basically run the economy. I mean,
sure, but they're loading in these things, which is why, you know, they give that great author George Clooney a place in the textbooks for his screenplay on the movie on Edward R. Murrow, which of course is blasting McCarthyism.
Right.
So you load that kind of bias into the textbooks, and I've found things that are just astonishing, dealing with Reagan, dealing with World War II, and it's not even close to being nonpartisan.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just unbelievable. So, you know, they give them a complete slant, and it's just like 1984, like right out of, you know, Orwell. I mean, changing the definition of the words so that they mean completely different things than they originally, you know, intended to mean. And so you can change the complete language of what, and the meanings completely change. And now you got control of their minds, basically. Is that, I mean, am I going way too far with that?
Yeah, no, here's why this is important. And this is why they're taking the literature out of the literature classrooms. Plato told us over 2,000 years ago, whoever controls the stories controls the society. If you control the narrative of how people see human beings and how they see politics and how they see their country's history, if you control that, you control the minds of the citizens. And that's exactly what they're doing. And this isn't just one random textbook. This is an industry following exactly what the Common Core is setting up for them to do.
Wow, unbelievable. Maybe we can talk about solutions. Yeah. Or, you know, what should we do? What should the parents do? Just pull their kids out of school? I mean, you know, we've got to go to a break here, so I don't want to go too far into it. But, you know, I'm just amazed here. And who's behind all this? I mean, where did Common Core come from? I mean, that's another question that I have here. So
maybe we should go to a break, and then we can pick that up on the other side and get our answers and move forward with it. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
When I get older, I need my health care. Many years from now, I know I won't be covered by Obamacare. Get a hip replacement pacemaker. If I protest it at a town hall, he'll just lock the door. Obama don't need me. Obama won't feed me. when I'm 64.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
You bad ready for America's original extreme sport? Well, April 18th, 19th, and 20th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PCRA and WPRA approved, you award world champion points, and you pay the highest purse. Well, I guarantee you, that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America ready to ride the rankest stock anywhere. Friday night is Tri-County's Bank Family Night, where tickets are just $13. Saturday is Robo Bank Day. Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital Haleakala La Ranch Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, RedBluffRoundup.com, or Diamond W Western Wear in Chico. But hey, don't you dare miss the concert after the rodeo Saturday night. Thanks to Diamond W Productions, it's Mark Chestnut.
Oh, the stopping jukebox, let it ring.
Oh, yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Should have been a DJ, Bob. I mean, I love this kind of music. We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, We the People. You know, this is a takeover, bloodless coup, like we said. We're going after the world here. We want to take over the world.
Anyway, we at least want to take back our country and our education and our children, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's like I keep telling people, hey, you know, what's more important, baseball, Sunday picnics, or your freedom? Maybe we ought to get involved here. So we're back here with Terrence Moore from Hillsdale College. And I hope I didn't offend you with the Marine crack, Terrence. I'm actually Army, so I could have probably said something about Army guys too.
we know about you guys. So.
But we appreciate your service to our country, that's for sure.
Anyway, we really do. We thank you a lot for everything you're doing here. Who wrote Common Core? Before we talk about suggestions, I don't know how much time we have with you, Terrence. So I'm kind of, you know, trying to get everything in that we possibly can to get out to the listeners here. But can you tell us who Common Core was written by, or where it comes from, or how did this get into our curriculum?
Well, this is something that progressives in general have been aiming at for a long time. We saw it back in the 90s with Clinton, where he tried goals through 2000, which was defeated because of a popular uprising. But the most immediate incarnation of it, the leading figure behind it, other than Bill Gates, who's put probably $200 million behind it, is a fellow whose name is David Coleman, who's now the president of the College Board, which, by the way, controls the SAT and all the AP tests. And all of those are being rewritten, dumbed down, to be aligned with the Common Core. So that's a fairly frightening thing. The second question you asked before the break was, well, what can we do? And that's a big question, but I think there's two or three things we have to do. The first is, most immediately, we have to defeat the Common Core, because although there are parts of it that aren't entirely new, it is nonetheless the biggest, most egregious manifestation of these ideas that have been around for a long time. And that has to be done at the state level, and every state has some kind of resistance against it, the Stop Common Core movement. It's stronger in some states than in others, but it is strong out in the West, and there are some folks in California who are trying to beat this. And I'm in Indiana, where we're at the middle of the fight. We're the first state that had the pause, and the states are supposedly we're out of the Common Core, but the forces within Indiana are rewriting them and simply rebranding them. So there's a fight over that. But ultimately, I think the parents who are just enraged over this issue will have strength enough, especially coming into an election season, to show people that we really care about this. Ultimately, it has to be political. It has to. Until legislators are afraid of their jobs and state school board members, it won't get repealed. So this has to become political.
So do you think it would help to get at the local level started, maybe get on some school boards and, you know, start putting pressure on everybody to get rid of this stuff? Because I just talked to a teacher on Friday, and she's about ready to start her own school or something, and I'm ready to pull my grandson out, quite frankly, if we can get it going. I mean, that's how concerned we are.
Right. Well, yes, I think I know a lot of folks who are trying to fight this on the individual school board level, and that's important because they need to feel the heat too. But it's also a state issue, so both of these should be done. The second approach is exactly what you're doing and what this teacher is describing. I think if this doesn't manifest itself into a discussion of what kind of education ought we to have, if it's not the Common Core, and if what we had before was not very good either, then that becomes a national discussion about what a good education actually looks like. And that'll actually cause us, I think, to go back to the sound principles of education. And to be able to do that, of course, we have to have school choice. Because districts themselves are not just going to up and say, oh, yeah, we've been teaching reading wrong for the last 40 years, so let's now adopt the real way to teach reading. So there's going to have to be pressure. And school choice at the moment is the best form of pressure. And that can come in a variety of ways, homeschooling, good solid charter schools, laws that are favorable towards startups of new private schools, and a host of other things.
Well, you know, you mentioned charter schools, and that's where my grandson is. And, you know, their biggest thing, their criteria is about is math and science. And, but I have no way of really checking on what they're doing. And they are pushing him towards the computer. Yep. Seems like he's on the computer 24/7. And, so how do I know if these guys are actually doing, you know, him a favor or turning him into a robot?
Well, here's what you have to understand about charter schools. And this is the confusing part of it. A charter school is simply a school of choice that is, created by a group of local founders, or in some cases, larger management companies that have a national or statewide reach. No charter school is necessarily the same as any other school. You could have, if you wanted, an Obama Leadership Academy. Or you could have the most classical school in the world called the Renaissance Classical School that starts teaching Latin in the fifth grade and does so all the way up through the high school. So the only thing that school choice does is give you an opportunity to do something that's different from what the regular school district is doing. So in addition to a favorable laws, there have to be people, citizens, founders, parents, who stand up and say, we want this kind of school for our community because it actually produces the best kind of education, and then they have to go through the hard work of founding a school. And there are parents, citizens around the country who are doing that sort of thing, and that movement is growing as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I went to a couple of the events, and they just had recently a little assembly over the mathematics, and it's, you know, they were doing the breakdown of the different numbers to come up with the answers and all this thing, and you know, so it looked like they were really pushing the math side of Common Core, which frightened me after I started figuring out that this is a real problem.
Yeah, I was looking over some of the papers, I know, some of his math papers, and they don't even, if they get the problem wrong, they just like skip over it. They don't tell the kid, you know, that you've done it improperly or what the proper answer is. As long as you're close, you know, that I guess that counts.
Right. What they're doing, the math, is just appalling. It's an abomination, and it's been tried before, and everywhere it's been tried, it's failed. So this is the thing that probably most parents are noticing because it's so unlike anything that they've done or that has any common sense in it.
Yeah, their big sell after they did the presentation was they've been doing this in Red China for years.
Yeah, that's what we want here.
It's like, okay, that makes me feel better. Yeah, and right. They're a totalitarian society that controls every aspect of their citizens' lives. And I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. We're going to have to go to another school or pull them out.
Right. I was going to ask with the charter schools if you like. We're talking with my brother's grandson. If you disagree with what's going on at the school, can the parents get together and challenge the charter school in changing their studies or their books or how they present it to the children?
Well, see, this is the fundamental thing about charter schools that you have to understand. Whereas in a regular district school, there's the illusion of parental control where you can go and you can talk to your principal and you can talk to your superintendent. And that usually means getting ignored in 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. So they will tell you that there's a lot of things that parents can do. The thing you usually can't do is just take your children to another school unless you want to pay for a private school. With a charter school, there is no natural constituency. No one is required to go to a charter school. So you send your children there because you embrace that particular mission and philosophy of the school. If you don't like what's going on with your child, of course you can go to the principal and you can go to the board if you choose. And they're usually far more receptive than a regular public school. Nonetheless, they have a particular mission that they're following. So if you don't like what you see, then you pull your child out. And what that means is if you have a really great charter school that's doing well and all the right things, you may have, 10 frustrated parents who don't like what they have and they leave, but you have a waiting list of 1,000. Whereas if it's a failing charter school that's clearly doing things the wrong way and not teaching children how to read and think, That charter school will end up just not meeting its budget, and it'll go under.
Wow.
Which is a good thing, because that shows that a failed experiment in education needs to fail.
What if I decided that I wanted to go to the principal of the charter school? Is there some place that I can give it, show him examples of my concern? And where can I pull some examples to say, here, this is all a part of Common Core, and I have some very high tentative thoughts about these examples and say, listen, I've got concerns about this. Why is this are you teaching this and show them that? Is there any place I can go to get the examples of the problems?
Well, yeah, if you have a child in the school, then you just go to the work that he's doing.
Okay. So we're monitoring everything that comes home, but how do we monitor what's in the class on the computers?
What the classroom setting, how could we monitor the actual classroom setting, what they're doing in the classroom with the children?
Just go to class, I guess.
Well, you could ask if you could visit. in the charter school that I ran, and this is how you see the difference among the charter schools, we always had 2 seats at the back of the classroom. And any time a parent wanted to visit, provided the parent wasn't harassing the teacher or something, which almost never happened. Any time a parent wanted to visit, all she had to do was sign in at the front desk and go and sit at the back of the class. We had nothing to hide. In fact, we wanted the parents to see what was going on in the school. So if you have a school, whether a charter school or a district school, that you can't get into and you can't see a day in the life of your child, something's wrong. And the district schools are notoriously bad about this, and I have tried to visit schools, and it's almost impossible to get in. In fact, I think it'd be easier to get into a school in North Korea than it is in most American public schools.
Wow. Oh, we got somebody in the chat room. Liz says, put a camera on your kid.
Yeah, video. Yeah, I don't know that you need a camera, but you should be able to visit your child's class. That just seems sensible to me.
Well, I think we'll have to give that a try.
Well, I think they did it, but something about, like, you got to make an appointment or something. It's like, really?
Yeah, so we'll have to look into that because for me, I'm a tax consultant, and I've been buried for months. I'm going to be coming up for air here in a couple of days.
Well, I know that I wanted to know what kind of books and stuff they were introducing in that charter school, and they told me that they weren't available.
Yeah, they seemed that they were pretty tentative about giving us any information, like we were kind of the problem. And I mean, that's sort of put my spidey sense on it and to start with, because gosh, if you don't want to tell. So we mentioned about the books, and they said, oh, it's the same stuff as last year. We mentioned a few things. Oh, yep. We haven't changed the curriculum. So, which makes me think that they are changing the curriculum and teaching them this stuff that we don't want them taught.
Precisely.
Okay.
Okay, well, keep fighting the fight.
Well, well, we appreciate you coming on. We'd love to have you back in the future and go over this, maybe when you get some more time and hit some more of the information to get out there what parents can do for their children.
And is your people should be looking to get your book too. I noticed you have a book here. It's The Story Killers, or we talked about it from the beginning. The Story Killers, a Common Sense Case Against Common Core. Where would they go to get that?
Amazon.
Amazon.com then. Very good. And that would give them a lot of information that we've talked about today, I'm assuming?
Absolutely.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you again, Terrence, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Okay. My pleasure.
All right. You have a great day.
Have a great day. All right. So I guess we're going to go to a break now.
Okay. We'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Think that your GPS really knows the streets? Get an Avoid Ghetto equipped GPS and avoid the places you don't want to go and the people you don't ever want to meet.
And Reverend Sharpton, you're going to love this new GPS safety device we installed.
I think safety is important for you much.
Yeah.
GPS, take me to my home.
Safety alert. Robbery, arson, avoid ghetto.
Wow, that's pretty accurate. GPS, take me to MSNBC.
Avoid ghetto.
But that's in a nice neighborhood.
Drive by journalism. Low IQ. Avoid ghetto.
GPS, just take me to my church.
Tax evasion. Bad credit rating. Avoid ghetto.
GPS, you are a racist.
Don't you be hating on me.
I'm gonna tell Jesse Jackson about you.
That jive turkey ain't got no cred with me.
Mm-hmm. Uptown, downtown, or Chinatown. An Avoid ghetto equipped GPS knows what's up.
Give me my keys back.
Avoid Ghetto, available at fine retailers outside the hood.
Avoid Ghetto.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Stadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Gramavalia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Winter's Day.
with my friend the teleprompter. I stand alone, gazing out among you, watching you watch me. It's creepy, but it's too late. You chose me. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah. I'll talk of love and brotherhood with a mosque. I'll send Hillary to negotiate. What they need is friendship, and friendship causes pain. Israel and Hamas, they're both the same. I am Barack. I'm the Messiah.
Yeah, speaking of the Messiah. Yeah, you know, the Kenyan that in the White House that everybody in the world seems to know is a Kenyan, except the people in America. At least that's my opinion.
He, the two-time voters?
Yeah, the guy even admits he's a Kenyan in his Harvard Law Review bio. And who writes a bio in the Harvard Law Review and says he's from Kenya and then changes his mind 20 years later and says that was a mistake? So I don't know. Anyway.
That's just par for the course with that.
Serious concerns and no journalism anywhere. But today we have a very special guest on, and who's been directly involved in challenging Barack Obama and his eligibility to be president. And she's been going after this for quite some time. Are you there, Orly?
Yes, I'm there. I'm actually at the airport, but I can hear you well.
Very good.
Thank you for coming on.
How you doing, Orly? We heard you had a small accident the last week or two.
It wasn't that small. My car was totaled, but I'm fine.
Good. So you didn't get hurt or anything then?
Okay. Hello?
You didn't get hurt or nothing, just the car totaled.
Well, I mean, I did get hurt, but it wasn't that bad. So
okay.
I'm going through some treatments, but I'm okay.
Good.
Considering the magnitude of the accident.
Good, good. Well, listen, I know we don't have you on here very long because I know you're sitting at the airport. So can you give us an update on what's going on?
Going on in court cases?
Absolutely. Well, there are five cases that are going on. One that is the most promising is in Maryland, where the judge has already issued a couple of positive rulings. This is a case dealing with Obama's use of a stolen Social Security number. It's a Connecticut Social Security number, and I can actually give it on the air because it's not his. It belongs to somebody who was born in 1890. 042-684-425. And actually Obama made it public himself. He posted it online with his tax returns in 2010. And originally he didn't flatten the PDF file, so the number became available to everybody. And it was checked through E-Verify and SSNDS. And he failed both governmental agencies that actually checked for illegal aliens came with a conclusion that the number that our sitting president is using was never assigned to him. Originally, the Social Security Administration, what I tried to do is, first I tried to go under Obama and try to get this application for the Social Security number stating that Obama used it and it was not assigned to him. And I went through a D.C. court, and the judge declined to allow me to get this information, claiming privacy. So what I did, I tried to find sort of ingenious ways to get to the truth. And I found under the name, I was able to find the person to whom it was assigned under his name, and he was born in 1890. And was it, I don't know if it was a stroke of luck or somebody at Social Security Administration is helping me, but they came up with a new law stating that if the person was born 120 years ago or earlier, you don't need a consent or proof of death of this person. You can still get the papers. So I submitted I submitted this application. And originally, the Department of Justice, on behalf of Social Security Administration, claimed that this man has never applied for Social Security number. They don't have it. They don't have such records. And they asked the judge to dismiss my lawsuit, at which time I provided the judge with a copy of the letter from the same attorney from Social Security Administration, where I, where in this letter she admitted that she has records of this gentleman, but she would not release them due to considerations of privacy. And with this letter, I also attached a copy of the new law, of the new rule that states that people who are 120 years old or older, they cannot claim consideration of privacy as an excuse. And I also provided a copy of the census papers from 1940 where this man has written that he was born in 1890.
And they don't reissue those, do they? I mean, they don't reissue Social Security numbers,
no,
do they?
No, absolutely not. And people, you know, Obama's operatives have written to multiple websites saying, well, maybe it was reused, we're running out of numbers. Think about it. A Social Security number is a 9-digit number. So we have to reach nearly a billion people, billion minus one, in order to run out of numbers. And we have only 330,000 people. 330 million people in this country. So clearly we did not run out of numbers. They do not reissue them. So that was just a bogus statement. Never. The Social Security numbers are never reissued to other people.
Well, this administration seems to be very good at covering things up. I mean, we got Benghazi. We got the IRS. I mean, you know, everybody keeps dancing around the fact that how could Obama, there's no proof of the White House, but there is a lot of proof here that there's a problem, with him being eligible to be the president, no matter how you slice the pie.
I mean, it's not just that he's not eligible to be the president. He's eligible for a life sentence.
He's prison eligible is what you're saying.
He's eligible to be moved expeditiously from the White House to the big house. The problem is corruption. Corruption in the judiciary. But so far, this judge was fine. She actually ruled in my favor previously. She denied the motion by the Department of Justice to dismiss my lawsuit. And she basically gave them HELO, saying, you guys didn't look well and you did not follow the guidelines. You didn't show me. How did you do the searches and came up with a conclusion that this man never applied for the Social Security number and you don't have it? And basically she told them, you know, would go and keep looking and come back. That was pretty much the decision. And by the way, you can find all the papers I posted on my website. It's orlytom.esq.com, orlytom.esq.com. OrTatesReport.com, and you can find all of the rulings and pleadings from the case.
You know, so, it seems to me, yeah. Orly, that the tactic has been up to this point is, you know, anything that this administration doesn't want the public to know, the Main Street media blacks it out, or they use the Alinsky tactic of demonizing or, making fun of their opponents. I mean, you're a birther, you're this, you're that. But they never seem to examine any of the evidence in any kind of a journalistic integrity.
I know they can't do it because if they examine the evidence, they would see that we have a criminal sitting in the White House. So that's the only thing they can resort to is making jokes. And actually, just yesterday or 2 days ago, yeah. Obama appeared at a rally where he said, "Well, you know, I know where is my birth certificate, and other people don't, and my birth certificate is on the website." Well, what's on the website is a piece of garbage,
right.
Which a fifth grader can tell. It's a joke. Letters of different sizes, different fonts, multiple layers. So there is another case, a case in Washington, D.C., and that's in regards to Obama's fabricated Selective Service registration. The man doesn't have one single valid piece of paper, just I mean, if it wouldn't be so dangerous for the nation, it would have been a joke. We would have had a great sitcom called Obama's.
You're so right, Orly. I mean, I've been studying this for quite some time, and I was amazed at the depth of the evidence against this guy. And, you know, let's just say for a moment, let's just assume that, okay, he's born in Hawaii. Well, it doesn't even matter because, you know, if he was born in Hawaii, he went to Indonesia and went to school, well documented. And in order to go to school in Indonesia, you actually have to become a citizen. So then he came back, which would mean that he would be, at the very least, a dual citizen. And he's still not eligible. But we're going to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to have to go to a break. They're going to cut us off, and we'll pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see.
You're listening to We the People with special guest host, your Sovereign Minds host, Mark Kent, and his sister, Linda Kent. Stay tuned for Hour 2 on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The White House is hoping for a quick Senate confirmation of the president's new nominee to head the Department of Health and Human Services.
When he nominated Sylvia Matthews Burwell on Friday, the president noted that the Senate approved her as White House Budget Director on a 96-0 vote a year ago.
Last time she was confirmed unanimously. I'm assuming not that much has changed since that time.
Congressional Republicans remain opposed to Obamacare, even as some GOP lawmakers have voiced support for Burwell's nomination. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
Investigators want to know more about that deadly bus-truck collision in Northern California last week that killed 10 people. This is National Transportation Safety Board member Mark Rosecant.
There was an opportunity to interview the driver and passenger in the white Altima. And the passenger didn't report seeing anything. However, the driver did report seeing flames that were coming out from the truck-tractor cab prior to the crash, as it was coming across the median.
Federal investigators plan to examine the scene of the accident on Interstate 5 and are looking for more witnesses. Ukraine's interior minister on his Facebook page today says pro-Russian militiamen who seized police headquarters and the office of the security service have fired on approaching special troops. Those special forces sent to the eastern city where the siege is taking place. Meanwhile, another group of apparent separatists fired on regular Ukrainian soldiers, killing one person and wounding five others earlier today. Federal land managers say safety concerns led them to try and de-escalate tension with a Nevada rancher who's refused to recognize their authority. The government has set free all 400 of the man's cattle rounded up on public land in southern Nevada. They say he has to pay to graze there. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
Authorities say a large forest fire that is covering the Chilean city of Valparaiso in smoke has killed five people and destroyed at least 150 homes. The president has declared the port city a catastrophe zone, which puts the armed forces in charge of maintaining order and evacuating thousands of people affected by the smoke and flames. The mayor of the city says while there have not been any serious injuries, although the five deaths, people are being choked by the smoke, and he's urging refugees to get out while they can. A powerful magnitude 7.6 earthquake has triggered large waves in the Solomon Islands today, and authorities are trying to determine if there's been any serious damage or injuries. A government spokesman says people throughout the Pacific Island chain awoke to the strong quake early this morning. People on Makira and nearby islands southeast of the capital reported seeing three large waves after the quake. No immediate report, though, of damages or injuries. This is SRN News. Medical researchers are pushing the limits of some cutting-edge technology.
They're using a 3D printer to try to build a human heart. Ultimately, the goal is to create a new heart for a patient with their own cells. It could be transplanted. It's an ambitious project to first make the heart and then get it to work in a patient. And it could be years, perhaps even decades, before a 3D printed heart would ever be put in a person.
SRN's Rich Thomason says scientists have already used 3D printers to make splints, valves, and even a human ear. Well, it is Palm Sunday, the kickoff to Holy Week, and millions of Christians all around the globe are celebrating Christ's triumphant return to Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of them are in Israel today, where security will be tight all week, right on through Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and of course Easter Sunday, 1 week from today. Meanwhile, Jews will begin celebrating Passover tomorrow night. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, I guess we're pretending we're we the people, at least a little
bit.
We
are the we the people at the moment.
Yeah, we want to, I don't know if Bill and Aaron are listening, but we've
I'm sure they are.
Pretty much taken over.
And you think you're coming back next week.
Yeah, no, yeah. They'll be back, and they're going to give us the jazz next week. Anyway, let's get back to Orly here, because I was just over the break Googling, you know, Kenya, you know, looking at the booklet bio of Barack and his Barack Obama, you know, on his Harvard Law Review, Barack Obama, and I'm reading it right out of this, and he's the one that wrote his own bio here, and you know, later on, 20 years later, they say it's a mistake. Well, how can you make a mistake on your own bio? You know, so my question is, were you lying then? You're lying now, and I'm reading it right out. Barack Obama, the first African American president of the Harvard Law Review, was born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. How can that be any kind of a mistake?
Absolutely. And I have submitted it to a number of judges, and this is still yet to be determined. You know, none of the cases was heard on the merits. There is a case in Mississippi, which I filed 2 years ago before the primary election. I'm still waiting for the decision of the judge, and hopefully it's going to come shortly. I'm waiting for the decision to have discovery. By the way, what's interesting is that in that case, one of the defendants was Loretta Fardy, who was the director of health in Hawaii, who allegedly certified the forgery as a genuine copy of a genuine 1961 birth certificate. And as you know, conveniently, she died in an airplane accident in December. What's interesting that she was on the plane together with her deputy director, and both of them were involved in certification of this forgery. And shortly after the takeoff, the plane went down, and the pilot was able to land the plane on the water. And actually, everybody got out of the plane. Everything was fine. There were statements by passengers that Loretta Fardy was fine. She was in good health, waiting to be rescued. There was a plane that happened to be flying above and saw the accident, and they continued circling the area just to tell the survivors that help is coming. They were very close to the coast. One of the survivors actually swam to the coast himself because it was so close. And shortly after this accident, it was announced that she died, and both the pilot and one of the passengers made statements that they're bewildered. How could she die when they saw her wearing a life vest and being in good health waiting for rescue? So it's interesting that one of the papers, local papers in Hawaii, a reporter by name Jennifer Tinker-Kelleher wrote an article stating that the autopsy came out and it showed that she died from arrhythmia, irregular heartbeat. And right away the brother of Loretta Fides stated, you know, she didn't suffer from any heartbeat, any irregular heartbeat. She did not have any heart conditions. She was an average swimmer, and the article stated that she was very anxious, she was afraid, and this anxiety caused her irregular heartbeat, and she was a rudimentary swimmer. So I demanded to see a copy of this autopsy. Actually, one of my supporters wrote to this AP reporter, and she said, oh, well, just contact the Maui Police Department, at which time I wrote to her stating I did contact Maui Police Department, and they stated they would not release a copy of the autopsy report unless there is a written consent of the next of kin. Please advise me which relative gave you the consent. And at that point, this reporter just disappeared. Nobody heard from her again. And there is a high probability that she never got anything. She never got an autopsy report. We don't know if this report states, if it exists, if it states what she says, if it was ever signed by the examiner. Because prior to that, I personally talked to the medical examiner, Dr. Harley, and she was telling me that she's waiting for the toxicology reports. She would not be issuing a report without the toxicology. And then suddenly there is a claim of a report, and this report was never shown to the public. Nobody knows what exactly it states, whether it was signed, and even whether it exists. Yet, in all the media just reprinted an article by this Jennifer Kelleher claiming that Loretta Fides died of arrhythmia. So in my case, I asked the judge to change the case, basically stating that instead of Loretta Fides, her estate is one of the defendants. And the attorney for the state of Hawaii asked the judge to just replace Loretta Fides with a new director by name Linda Rosen. And I filed some other pleadings. Basically, they cannot do it because Linda Rosen is not the one who was complicit in this crime. She was not the one who was complicit in this racketeering act. She was not the one who certified this flagrant forgery. So I cannot sue her, but I can sue the estate of this Loretta Fides. So we're waiting to see what the judge will decide in this case.
Wow. Well, that's all. I hadn't heard all of that stuff, you know, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you wouldn't, this, you know, some, you know, people would think this is just so far fetched and how could they cover all this stuff up and to the extent that they've covered it up. But when you look at Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, I mean, and there's scandal after scandal after scandal where there seems to be a stonewalling or a cover up of evidence and no prosecutions. I mean, look at Lois Lerner, all of this stuff. It doesn't seem, how could it be a stretch that these guys wouldn't, if this is true, would these guys cover this up? I mean, I don't know how people can even think that these guys wouldn't do it because there's been nothing but lies that have come out of this administration from day one. I mean, that are provable.
Well, they would have to cover up everything from that point on.
Absolutely. Yeah, so.
Well, here's another interesting tidbit of information. I have requested a copy of Obama's application to the Illinois bar, and on this application I found out that he lied. I mean, he committed fraud because those applications are submitted under penalty of perjury, and there was the first question, what's your name? She put Barack Obama. Second question, did you use any other names? And he stated none. That was fraud in itself, for which he should have been denied his bar license, because he was hiding his identity under last names of Soya Toro and Soya Barker. We have his school registration from elementary school in Indonesia, where his last names clearly stated Soya Toro, Barry Soya Toro. And we have his mother's passport record, where his last name is stated as Soya Barker. So this is a major fraud. Here's an applicant to become an attorney is hiding two of his identities under two different last names. And the first response that I got from the Illinois bar was that because he no longer practices law, his license is inactive, then I'm going to do anything. So I responded to the Illinois bar stating, well, his license is inactive, but it can be activated at any time, and they have a duty to prosecute this. And they responded again that he resigned from the bar completely, so he'll never be able to practice law, and therefore they will not do anything. So you can see yet another cover-up.
I think, Orly, I think that everybody's afraid of this because, if it's true that, the president is ineligible from whatever standpoint, constitutionally, natural born citizen, fraud, whatever it is, I mean, it does cause a constitutional crisis that nobody wants to touch because if this is true, everything this guy's ever signed into law is null and void, and that would just completely undermine this administration, to the point of a collapse, at which it's collapsing as it is already based on the lies of all the other areas. So
absolutely, and think about it, what can be worse than Obama? Can anything be worse than somebody nearly doubling the U.S. national debt in 5 years? I mean, he incurred $7 trillion worth of debt. For that reason alone, any investigation wouldn't be worse, probably would be a turn for the better for this nation. Look at what's happening internationally.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, Nobody wants to touch it because it's just too hot a potato. And the Republicans' answer is to just vote out and get him out of there, get the House turned over. And I know that the impeachment papers have already been drawn up for several different things. And so I think we have to go to a break, Orly. Can you hang with us and we'll come back after the break?
All right.
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. And this is KCNR, 1460, home of the community radio for the North State. Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
At Second Amendment, Inc., we agree with Thomas Jefferson, who said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." Show your patriotic support for our right to keep and bear arms by wearing apparel made only in America. Second Amendment, Inc. merchandise is available at Bastiani Arms on Larkspur Lane, Signstation Sign Shop on Alfreda Way, right across from Lowe's, or online at SecondAmendmentInc.com. That's SecondAmendmentInc.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Howdy, Redding. Nate Abarea here. It really is a privilege getting to broadcast live sports here on KCNR 1460. And once a week, I even get to host my own talk show. The NorCal Sports Show, presented by Tay Van Car Wash, can be heard every Tuesday night at 6, right here on Free Fire Radio. Tay Van Car Wash is Redding's friendly hometown car wash, and they are proud to be a part of the North State's only local sports radio show. Tune in, call in, let it rip. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Nibbling on three cheese, laying in a cool breeze, waiting for my food stamps to come in. Talking on my free phone in an work zone. Living this easy could be a sin. Wasting away again in Obamaville. Spending tax money from the government's vault. Some people claim that it's George Bush to blame, but I know it's Obama's fault. Signed up for welfare, I get free health care. Lost my job with nothing to do. Here like a real king, I owe it to the left wing. How I got here, I haven't a clue.
We're back. This is We the People Radio, soon to be Sovereign Minds here in another 20, 30 minutes.
Maybe now.
We've got Orly Tates with us. I got a couple questions that I want to go over before we lose you, Orly. Do you know anything about this British intelligence where they say they actually have a record in Kenya because it was a British province back in the day of the birth of Obama? Do you know anything about that?
There is nothing. This gentleman, his name is Shrimpton, I think Michael Shrimpton, he contacted me a year ago, and I said, well, please provide me any proof of what you are saying. And he did not provide one thing.
Really?
Nothing, not a stitch of evidence. So I do not believe that there is anything there, that there is anything legitimate. And actually, I was at one of British consulates in Europe, and I talked to the cultural attaché, and what she claimed that they left all the documents there, and that they have nothing. So
well, it seems like a lot of things are getting thrown out there so that it can be discredited as well. I mean, the stuff that's important. I mean, you know, whether it's making fun or throwing claims that are, you know, unprovable out there, so it discredits the stuff that is provable.
The whole thing, exactly. That's what they're trying to do. For example, they're sending around a copy of a student card from Columbia University that says foreign student, and from what I found out, this is bogus, because the number was traced to another person, and in 1981, they didn't even have student cards with barcodes. And it is done to discredit the whole issue. You know, they believe they can discredit one thing, they can discredit the whole issue. But now more people realize that this is all a hoax. By the way, I wanted to give you a compliment. I was just at a meeting with Ron Paul, and a lot of people knew who I was, and it was in Northern California, and apparently they listened to a program because they said that they heard me on the program, on the radio.
Wow. that is a compliment. That really makes my day. I'll tell you what, I've been a big Ron Paul fan since I met him in 1988 down in Sunnyvale, and I have a signed copy from 88 of his book, Freedom Under Siege, and then I actually got him to sign it again last year when he was down at Davis for a rally for the presidency. So that really made my day. I appreciate that, Orly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was funny that the students were asking him questions. And one, the first question was, well, Obama is saying that he created millions of jobs, but where are they? Where are those jobs? And the first thing that Ron Paul said, well, Obama is lying. What else is new under the sun?
Yeah, so what else is new? I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I read an article last week from the paper here that said that we've got all the jobs back that we started with from at the start of the recession. We're down to 6.5% unemployed, and it's ridiculous. And this is when the Federal Reserve was supposed to stop quantitative easing, and everything was supposed to be going in the right direction. And you look around you and you go, it's totally bogus. I mean, can anybody with any kind of seriousness and say that the economy is better?
No, absolutely not. You're looking at commercial real estate. It's in the dumpster. You're looking at the percentage of people who are in labor force, and it's the lowest in the past 35 years. We have about 91 million people who are, 91 million adults who are not in labor force at all. And out of them, when you look at people who are working age, who not retirees, there are about 50 million. The highest number of people who are not in labor force. And the jobs that are being created are low wage, part-time, no benefits jobs. You're seeing a college graduates working for minimum wage jobs. I've seen a study showing 250,000 college graduates working for minimum wage jobs.
I'm looking right now at a chart from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it's the civilian labor force participation rate. I had an article here that I'd pulled up that I was going to go over, and we are now descending almost straight down, and we're at the level of between 1963 and 1964, and continuing to descend to the lowest participation rate. You know, and we have to go all the way back to 1958 in order to get there, but we're headed that direction, and we've got a lot more people in the country now. And back then, you could actually have one guy working, you know, and the wife staying at home or however they wanted to do it, because your salary would support the whole family with just one person working. So we're headed back to levels that are unprecedented.
Yes, it's terrible. So, you know, people are afraid, well, you know, if they're going to expose Obama, it's going to be a scandal. Well, any scandal will be better than what we have today in the White House.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's the truth. Hey, can you go ahead.
Looking at the military, and when you look at the military, that's another issue when we're seeing 200 top officers being purged from the military on bogus charges, and we're seeing people who are being recruited and promoted are people who are basically establishment people and have to follow the political correctness instead of doing what is necessary as top officers. We're seeing unilateral reduction in nuclear weapons, which is the opposite of what we should be doing, cut to Tomahawk missile programs.
Yep.
And, I mean, this is just a Trojan horse. Well, this is candidate destroying the nation.
This is right out of the
military.
This is right out of their playbook, you know, the old rules for radicals. I mean, you look at what's happened. I mean, you punish your enemies and you reward your friends. I mean, Sebelius, you know, she just resigned, but she's going to have a big fat salary. And you can go out through, you know, one guy after another that has been rewarded for their incompetence. So,
yeah, Well, and corruption and bribery yep. is just unprecedented in the U.S. history. Look at the contract that was given to those two foreign companies to create the website for Obamacare. Some $700 million to two foreign companies who had terrible track record, who were sued by the government of Canada and Great Britain for not performing. And the only reason they got the contract, well, two reasons. One, they were donors for Obama and Democrats. And two, the daughter and son-in-law of Valerie Jarrett work for
right.
the company.
Absolutely.
So it's just bribery.
Listen, while I got you on here, we got to go to a break here in a second and come back. But can you comment on what's going on with Zulo and all that investigation with
sure,
our bio? Because
sure.
we need to know.
That will be very fast.
Okay. Very good. Okay. We're going to go to a break then.
All right. We're going to go ahead and go to a break and we'll get the answer on the other side of this break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Brothers, the future's in the air, can feel it everywhere. I'm blowing with the wind of change. Take me to the magic of the moment on a glory night where the children.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find a gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have four full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Well, it's 2014. Do you find yourself looking in the mirror and saying, I want to be a better me? This year, I want to feel stronger, have a more positive outlook on life, and feel like I'm controlling my life. Life isn't controlling me. Well, now's the time. Go to Adamson's Peak Performance, a gym where the staff has incredible integrity. Adamson's is a place where you can become a better you. Get fit. Call Adamson's now at 221-8006. Adamson's Peak Performance.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I think we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, / We the People, Care of, we're, taking over the world. Anyway.
We're just trying to get the truth out there and educate the people to what the heck's
It'd be nice if journalism wasn't dead. I mean, I don't think there is any investigative journalism anymore. And the ones that are out there, I saw a report on the CBS gal the other day where she was investigating Fast and Furious and Benghazi. And she was, if they get too good on the reporting, they just don't air the stories. We haven't got time. We haven't got this. So,
they discredit them and they just go away.
The mainstream media is a lapdog. It's a whore. It's a prostitute. It's a whore to the administration at this point, because they will not report anything that they don't like in their narrative. So, and that kind of goes to that Common Core narrative that we talked about earlier. I mean, we're being so screened out now.
Yeah.
With
let's
that,
get back to Orly and let's get the update on the Sheriff of Pyle.
Well, there is absolutely nothing to update because they never came up with any new information. Basically, 2 years ago, actually nearly 3 years ago, myself and a number of investigators provided a file with evidence, actually evidence that I have already submitted to multiple courts back in 2009. All they did is before the election when our file ran for sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona, he used this evidence. Basically, they just confirmed it, and they used it to do press conferences as a massive fundraiser. He worked with a number of bloggers, Joseph Farah from WMZ, Berkeley Ford. There is another radio station, Carl Gallup's, and they raised millions of dollars. And, but they did not come up with any new evidence. But what is even more troubling, that they have never submitted a criminal complaint to any authority, to any prosecutor. They just use this as a fundraising tool. I, for example, contacted the district attorney of Maricopa County, Arizona, since our fire claimed that they have a statement or affidavit from a forensic document expert stating that Obama's birth certificate is 100% forgery, and that's a forensic document expert from Hawaii. So this is something that he was supposed to submit to the district attorney before the election, and I submitted an official FOIA request for information, and I got a response where the representative of the district attorney said that this document was never provided to them. They don't have it.
Wow.
They never provided anything to the attorney general of Arizona, to the U.S. attorney for the District of Arizona, or to the Judiciary Committee or Oversight Committee of Congress. They just used this issue to raise money, and that's it.
So it's all about politics.
For 3 years.
So it's all about politics. Politics and money.
And not only that, they heard a number of cases because I had a very important witness, senior deportation officer John Sampson, who testified for me in Georgia. And I subpoenaed him, Arpaio, and Zula to appear in other cases. One of them was a promising case in Indiana before the election. Not only they refused to comply with court-issued subpoenas, which is obstruction of justice in itself, but on a radio show, just like your radio show, I was on a radio show in Colorado with Peter Boyle, who got this John Sampson on the line as well, since he lives in Colorado, and he admitted that they made a deal. He, Zulu, and Arpaio made a deal not to comply with the court-issued subpoenas and not to appear in court in Indiana. So three of them did not appear. As a matter of fact, what Arpaio did, he invited John Sampson to travel to Arizona. He paid for his airfare, and he deputized him as part of his cold case posse. And then he told him, well, now you're part of my cold case posse. You cannot testify for Attorney Ori Tate in any of her cases. So not only he didn't find any new evidence for 3 years and didn't submit any cases to court, he tampered with an important witness. That's obstruction of justice. It's conspiracy to obstruct justice. Those are very serious issues. And, one day it will be reviewed. And for example, for months they were saying, well, universe-shattering evidence will be provided by Arpaio and Zulu in March. For the whole month of March, people were waiting. They went to this CPC Month Radio, Carl Gallup, waiting for information. They were checking on birthareport.com for information, and nothing came out. There was no evidence. So, I mean, it's, and I guess some people just gullible and they just, you know, continue listening. But this is just criminal, absolutely criminal. Moreover, there was a case against Tarpayan that was going on. Actually, it was filed, I believe, during Bush administration and continued during Obama administration, where the U.S. attorneys claimed that Opaya violated rights of Hispanics in his county by not prosecuting crimes against them. And so as this investigation was going on, and if it were to be proven, he himself could have faced jail time for this. This is a criminal offense. He started talking about Obama's birth certificate, and sometime in August, before the election, the U.S. Attorney's Office suddenly announced that they will dismiss the case against Tarpayan. They would not proceed with this case. And at the same time, Tarpayan himself stopped doing those press conferences. And Zula continued talking, but Arpaio stopped doing press conferences. I cannot state for a fact that there was an agreement, but a lot of people suspect that there was some type of a quid pro quo where Obama did not prosecute Arpaio, and Arpaio never filed any official criminal complaint against Obama. And just in February, right before the scheduled universe-shattering release of information, there was an article in a paper of Arizona that stated that FBI had sufficient evidence to prosecute Arpaio, and the U.S. attorneys decided not to prosecute them him then. And to me, it looked like a threat from Obama saying, listen, you're going to release anything in March as you promised. We're going to go after you. You know, they did not proceed with the case, but they did not dismiss it with prejudice. They just withdrew the charges, and they can refile them again. So basically, this, I believe it was a threat to our prior listen. FBI has this complaint against you. We have it. You open your mouth. We're going to go after you. So there was no press conference from Arpaio. And, you know, as I said, since August of 2012, when charges were dismissed against Arpaio, there were no press conferences by Arpaio. But also, he's never done anything. Just, you know, raised money, made some noise, got reelected, and interfered with cases.
Wow, so it's business as usual. I mean, anymore, we don't, you know, the rule of law is going under the bus, and, you know, we don't know who the heroes are and the truth is telling us anymore, because you can't, you know, the media's lying. I mean, that's becoming so obvious it's ridiculous. We did call Sunrise Tea Party at one point, and they were very angry at Arpaio.
Yes, they were.
And we were shocked. We didn't know what to believe anymore.
Because he defrauded them. You know, 250 people have submitted this complaint, and they were seeking action because Arpaio promised there is a criminal case going on. And what's interesting, he didn't even conduct this case properly, so proper channels within the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. It was handled through Zulo, who is the director of this private organization called Cold Case Posse. And it's 501c3. It's a nonprofit. And, you know, they raised large amounts of money, but it didn't even go to the sheriff's department. It went to this, to Zulu's organization. And at the end, Arpaio didn't do anything after demands to file a case. Finally, Arpaio said that he has no jurisdiction to file any case against Obama. So why did he raise millions of dollars for this case if he had no jurisdiction to begin with?
You know, what it is that these guys seem like they get something on anybody. I mean, it's reminiscent of when Obamacare was examined by the Supreme Court and they found that it was constitutional and it was a tax, you know, and looked like Justice Roberts was going to you know, weigh in against it. And then all of a sudden he voted for it. And I mean, it seems like this administration just gets something on everybody. Maybe that's the NSA spying. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, but Robert, as you know, they couldn't have children. They adopted two children from Ireland, you know, those blonde white kids. And what's interesting, the official adoption papers showed that the kids were adopted from South America. So there were questions, how did they find those blonde, blue-eyed kids in South America? Then they found out that the kids were actually from Ireland. And Ireland has very strict laws against foreign adoption. So what they did, they went around Irish adoption laws by flying the mothers of those babies with the babies to South America and doing adoption there. So it didn't sound very ethical, so there were questions about it. So clearly, I mean, there is a high probability they had something on Roberts. But not only that, just yesterday I was watching this interview by Sybil Edmonds, and she's the FBI whistleblower, and she was stating that FBI does background checks on each and every candidate to be appointed as a federal judge, and that typically the ones that are being chosen are the ones that have something that they are, there is something in their history, maybe some sexual problems and indiscretions, financial taxes, that they have something on them. Those are the ones that typically get appointed. And, you know, she's speaking out about this openly, and it's a serious problem.
Wow. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break, and then we got another 15 minutes with you, Orly.
I will be going, you know what, I'll be going towards the plane. Hopefully I'll still hear you close at the terminal. But just in case, before I go, as you know, I am running for Attorney General.
Very good.
People can go on my campaign website. It's runorlyrun.com, RUNORLYREN.com. And if they want information and pleadings from the cases, they can go on my foundation website, which is OrlyTates.esq.com, O-R-L-Y, T as in Tom, A-I, T as in Tom, G, E-S-Q.com.
Very good. And thanks, Orly.
You're going for a break now?
Yeah,
we're going to have to go to a break. Okay. But just in case we do lose you, we want to thank you so much for coming on today and discussing all these matters with us. And
My pleasure.
Okay, so we'll go to the break now. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR.
Your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Radio / We the People. Yeah, what a morning, you know. We're not used to having 3 hours. We still got another hour to go, but we've got Orly on the line, I think. Are you still there, Orly?
Yes.
Yes, we've got Billy Bob on the line as well. And Billy Bob, I think, wants to make a compliment or a comment to Orly here. Are you there, Billy?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Very good.
Great show, Kent and Linda. You guys do amazing work. Listen, just a quick moment to thank Orly for all her hard work and dedication. Her energy, she's going to be a George Washington of our second founding of this nation. And I just wanted to give you some energy and some heads up, and I appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Very good. Thanks,
Thank you,
Billy.
Very much.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate this.
Very
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah, we are in the middle of the second American Revolution here, where anybody wants to believe it or not. I mean, just because they won't, Rachel Maddow won't talk about anything but a plane that was ditched in the south of the Indian Ocean. I mean, there's big things that are happening all over. I mean, the Nevada thing and everything. And, it's just amazing. We were just talking about it on the break. The depth of what's going on, the depth of the lies, the depth of the corruption, the depth of how big our government has gotten and out of control. I mean, you would have never thought about this when we were kids. It's unbelievable.
Well, just in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
what happened in Nevada yesterday shows us that people can make a difference where, what 1,000 people were able to, make, Bureau of Land Management back away from taking over the land of the rancher, from rounding his cattle. And just recently, and not only there is an issue, of course, with Harry Reid and his son Rory, where Rory approved as a commissioner sale of thousands of acres of land for about a 30% of its value to a large Chinese company. But today in the morning before the flight, I was looking at another issue. When you go on the website of BLM, you will find out that instead of protecting wildlife, they have there an article asking for opinions how to diminish the herds of wild horses. Why is this agency trying to diminish the herds of wild horses? At the same time, they're promoting those solar plants, and I'm afraid that we'll have another Solyndra on our hands. What's interesting that this company, First Solar, that is co-owned by John Walton of Walmart, one of the owners of Walmart, a multi-billionaire, is getting land from BLM to build solar plants. And I'm yet to find out how much did he pay per acre. Did he pay the market value for this land? I highly doubt it.
Well, my understanding too is, isn't Harry Reid in the mix here someplace along with his son on the deal?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Reid, I mean, it's like mafia. One of his sons is a lobbyist. It's just like Biden. You know, Biden's son is a lobbyist. He was basically going to people telling, you want my dad to do you a favor? Hey, and he made millions of dollars this way. And one of Reid's sons is a lobbyist. Another son, Rory, was placed as a commissioner in Clark County, Nevada, which is pretty much like Cook County, Illinois. There was this approval which made no sense. They were willing to take cents on a dollar for this land. But what interesting, the land, they were selling it as a county land. On the other hand, the federal thing is federal land. But not only that, if you remember with Solyndra, the Department of Energy was giving and still giving grants and low interest loans for those solar companies. And if you recall with Solyndra, what they did, they rewritten those loans where the federal government became the main guarantor. Basically, they were paying off the other investors before the federal government. So basically, the federal government was left holding the bag and losing $500 million with Solyndra.
Yeah.
And there is a high probability the same thing is being done in Nevada and California with those solar companies. Moreover, not too many people know that there is a deal, and I remember it was approved sometimes in 2009, where you can donate land for nature preserves. They have a program 2-to-1. For example, somebody can buy for peanuts land in Nevada, somewhere land where there is nothing, desert, and donate it to BLM. On the other hand, BLM, for every 2 acres of donated land, they can release an acre. And imagine, they can release an acre of land somewhere in Southern California by the ocean, where the land is worth its weight in gold. And this way, those people can make millions, if not billions of dollars. And this is just legalized corruption, legalized theft.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds a lot like there's Agenda 21 mixed in the middle of that as well, and some cronyism to, you know, pay off their friends for everything. Just wanted to say before we lose you here too that the you know, a lot of people think this backing off of the BLM is a ruse, that they're just going to come back even harder here as soon as the smoke clears a little bit, and you know, we need to be careful out there that this is not
absolutely
over.
Yeah, this is not the end. This is just basically they were trying to diffuse the situation, deflect the attention, and they will go after Clive Bundy, and they will go after others. But what we're seeing is a massive theft. Do you know how much? Something like, I believe 70%, if not 80% of land in Western states is owned by the federal government.
Right.
And imagine if they're playing this game, on a large scale. We're talking billions of dollars that are basically taken away from the government and go into the hands of a bunch of billionaires.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep, absolutely.
Just like, we're seeing amnesty being pushed. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, you're going to be laughing. I was invited to speak as a candidate for possible endorsement by the CFL CIO, which is labor unions. And I knew that they always endorse Democrats. There is no chance. But I figured I'm going to go and just give them some of my thoughts. You know, it's easy to sing to the choir, but it's hard to go and talk to people who have opposite views. So when I provided them all my information, they asked me, well, what do you think about this immigration reform? There is growing consensus. And I said, well, growing consensus among whom? A few billionaires who are pushing for it. One of the gentlemen tells me, well, you know, you're an immigrant. You got your pass to citizenship. Don't you think that, others should get a pass to citizenship? I said, I did it legally. We're talking about millions of people who are here illegally. Don't you think that, do you think it's gonna, improve the issue? You're giving this amnesty. Do you think it will make it worse? It's gonna be a magnet for more and more illegals that are taking jobs and lowering wages and taking benefits. It's a disaster for your own members. And this guy looks at me and he tells me, well, you know what's going to happen if we give all of them amnesty? We'll have a more colorful society and we'll all be very happy. I mean, I was thinking to myself, is he completely out of his mind or just partially? So I'm telling him, okay, well, if you feel that makes us a better society and more colorful, why do we even have borders? Let's just do away with all American borders. There are 7 billion people on the face of this planet. Let's bring all of them to America, and it's going to be a very colorful society. It will be broke within 5 days, but we'll be colorful.
Yeah, we'll look like Bangladesh or someplace. Yep. Listen,
well, they're going to cut us off here.
Hey, be safe out there, Orly. We appreciate you coming in, but we got to go do a hard break here.
All right. This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Trouble in Ukraine today. Pro-Russia militiamen have been exchanging fire with Ukrainian troops in the eastern city of Slovyansk. One person is dead, 5 are injured. And now Ukraine's President Alexander Turchynov says the country is going to launch a, quote, large-scale anti-terrorist operation to resist Russia's aggression. Senator John McCain blames President Obama for all this.
I think it's a result, very frankly, of our result to enact anything really meaningful or important as a result of Vladimir Putin's encroachment and annexation of the Crimea.
He was a guest on CBS TV this morning. The Ukrainian president said in a live TV interview this morning from the parliament, authorities in Kiev will not allow the, quote, repetition of the Crimean scenario. Outgoing Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius says the administration's own predictions that the new healthcare laws online